welcome to the Exit Readiness Podcast. My name is Pat Innes of Innes Legacy Partners, and I'm here with my co-host Walter Dial, who is a partner at Gelman, Rosenberg, and Friedman. CPA is located in Bethesda, Maryland. When planning a successful exit from your business, you're going to want to maximize the value of your business, and that's in line with what Walter and I help our clients do. And when you take steps to minimize risk inherent in your business, you are at the same time increasing the value of your business to a strategic or a financial buyer. And today, our guest attorney, Christine Lambro-Johnson, is going to help you better understand and easily recognize overlooked areas of employment risk that could impact how well you exit your business. Christine practices law at Gammon & Grange in McLean, Virginia. She's a 1995 graduate of the University of Michigan Law School. She clerked for the Supreme Court of Illinois from 2000 to 2001. Previously served as the Assistant General for the State of Illinois, Assistant Attorney General for the State of Illinois. She concentrates her practice on the day-to-day counseling of employers concerning their obligations under federal and state labor and employment law, with areas of practice in employment and human resources, civil litigation, corporations and business organizations, nonprofit and exempt organizations law, constitutional and religious liberty law. Christine's also quite busy when she's not practicing law. She serves on the governing board of Samaritan Inns in Washington, D.C., and she's a member of the Christian Legal Society and the Federalist Society. And as the competent attorney that she is, she'd want you to know that the views she shares today are not legal advice and are her own and do not necessarily represent the views of Gammon & Grange PC. Hi, Christine. Thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well.
Did I get that disclaimer right?
Yes, sir, you did.
Very good. Christine, Walter and I are excited to have you with us today because minimizing a business owner's risk and planning for their successful exit is at the heart of what we're doing and trying to help them plan a successful exit that's based on all their goals and objectives, an exit that both maximizes the value of the business while minimizing the risk of the transition and the transaction. And the areas that you're going to cover with us today are key employment issues, often overlooked or misunderstood or both. And so I was wondering, could we start with you first mentioning the couple of major areas of risk that are indeed overlooked by owners and that can indeed result in significant consequences?
Yes, I'd be glad to. I'll start by observing that what I'm going to share is not only helpful for exit planning, but it also is helpful for the growth and maintenance of your business. So this isn't information that just comes in handy as you're walking out the door. This is really processes and procedures and advice that you want to have in place that will help you grow your business and help you incentivize your employees and help you maximize your profits. The couple areas of risk that I want to focus in on are the two major assets of businesses, and that is their intellectual property and their people. Every business sells a product or provides a service or may own some real property, but there are two areas that often get overlooked, and that's the intangible intellectual property that a business operates with. And then the people are actually assets of a business that can be preserved and protected and incentivized.
So, Christine, are you saying that intellectual property is related to employment issues?
Well, the way that intellectual property is related, and that's its own specialty, is our IP issues, is that in the business that all the interrelations with the owner and the employees are can be structured so that the it can address the intellectual property issues. And by that I mean your business procedures and your business policies and your business agreements with your employees can incorporate the intellectual property issues and protections that you need for your business.
Could you give us an example of that, Christine?
Sure. Two really easy examples are when you have a policy that applies to all your employees about what information they have to be, they have to keep confidential, and what information they can't share with outsiders. It's also incorporated in employment agreements with employees.
When you're serving or consulting with business owners and businesses, do you often see that employment agreements, non-competes are neglected or deficient? Maybe they haven't been looked at in a while?
Yes, I often do. And I also often see that they're either inadequate or they're in the wrong place. There's two extremes that a business can be operating in, and then sometimes simultaneously. Some of the intellectual property is either sitting in the owner's head. It's all their how they run the business and what kind of systems they put in place. It's all in their mind, and they haven't written it down. Other intellectual property is somewhere on a computer program, and the wrong people or too many people can have access to it. So it's almost two extremes. Some of it is not accessible at all by a potential buyer or successor of your business. And other information can be just easily downloaded and stolen. And by intellectual property, of course, I do mean the trade secrets, patents, copyrights, but I also mean your customer and client lists, your vendor information, your pricing, big picture plans like your business plans and marketing strategies, all your financial and accounting information, and your operational systems. And as you kind of tick through that list, you can think, now what is easily accessible to people and what is all is not accessible at all, and that if the owner walked away tomorrow or something happened to you, that everything would come to a grinding halt because people don't have access to the information that they need. So all of a business's intellectual property is related to its people, both its owners and its employees.
And I guess that can cause problems. So how do we address that problem?
Well, the way you want to approach it is by thinking about preservation and protection. Again, start by thinking what makes your business run. What would bring your business to its knees if the information were gone? Or the owner wants to be thinking that if I walk away for a couple weeks, can my business run without me? So he or she wants to set up processes to preserve that information and to kind of disperse it, put managers in place, give them actual power and delegation to operate in whatever sphere that's their job to do, and strategize and help them strategize and implement the tasks that you have for them. Other employees, you have to decide between what employees are your key employees and have a high degree of discretion and empowerment, and what other employees need to know a limited amount of information. So that's thinking about policies and where your information is placed and the ability to preserve it. The other approach you want to take is protecting it, protecting that information. And that's what I mentioned before. Do you have policies in your handbook or up on the, on the bulletin board about what information is confidential, what information should be protected from outsiders and within your business? Beyond the policies, do you have systems in place where an employee can't just walk away with your most valuable information? Do you have enough passwords? Do you have certain people who have access to information, and then other people who can check on that, the checks and balances that come in with financial information that CPAs are familiar with? And do you have kind of a system that acts as a practical insurance policy, as well as a real insurance policy, that if somebody hacks your system, will they be able to walk away with all your information? Those are the protections, the practical protections that you can put in place. And I would just mention one other extremely important area of protection, is, and that is for employee exit procedures. That transition from someone who's an employee to someone who's being terminated, and when they walk out the door, is a critical time to have in place your IT person to be able to shut down their password, shut down their computer, retrieve all their work devices that you've issued to them, and protect your information as they walk out the door. Because you never know if that person, sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't know if that person is leaving on good terms or on destructive terms. So those are areas of where you can implement protective measures over your intellectual property.
That's really helpful.
You know, we're working with mostly small businesses, Christine, anywhere from, $3 million in revenue to, and sometimes even smaller than that, helping them get started, and $3 million in revenue to $25 million, sometimes above that in revenue. And so these business owners, they're busy with a whole lot of different things, and they have limited resources in regard to people and roles in the organization to stay on top of everything they need to stay on top of. I guess you would say that these areas, I think we would, based on our experience, so I imagine you will, these areas can be just as important and essential for a smaller business than business owner than it would be for larger businesses and enterprises?
That's most certainly true. And actually, that's the catch, that there's a transitional period when a business is transitioning from the mom and pop model to something that has to be more structured and organized. And that is a really critical time. And it's where most businesses neglect these issues. There are ways in which these issues, however, can be addressed very simply. When I prepare a handbook for a business, I don't start, from scratch. There are standard and stock terms that need to be in every handbook and in every policy manual. So fortunately, there's a lot of material to work from when we're drafting a confidentiality policy or a intellectual property procedures or things like that. On the other hand, each business is unique. And so you can pull something off of the internet, but it might be completely useless to you in the operations of your business. So it's kind of a delicate balance between using information that's already out there and then fitting it to your organization. We cater to that size of business or nonprofit because they need the legal advice that will help tailor to help sift through the information and then tailor it to their business. And this really is an area, I cannot stress this enough, where it's not wise to be penny wise and pound foolish, yeah. Where an ounce of prevention really, really can save you so much trouble in the end. And, every lawyer has their war stories, but mine come in pretty almost daily about if someone had called me and let me spend 20 minutes to 3 hours of my time to help them, they could have avoided tens and thousands of dollars of risk. So these are areas that can be done pretty in a standard way, and I really encourage that.
Okay, follow up to that. If we've got listeners out there, which I'm sure we will, that they haven't looked at this in a while, they've almost kind of been avoiding it because they don't even know who should own it in their organization, in their business. Can you give them like 1, 2, 3 steps that they could take just to make sure they're not neglecting these very important areas of risk?
Yeah, what I usually have an owner send me is their handbook and their contracts, and including employee contracts. So if they don't have a handbook, we get, you know, produce one for them. Or if they have something, I just, you know, I can review that. So start with your employee handbook, start with your insurance coverage, start with your any policies and procedures that you have, and then your contracts. Typically, one area of risk is when employers use independent contractors. And if those contracts don't have the proper provisions for confidential information, for non-solicitation and other restrictive covenants, and for works for hire and who owns whatever that person is producing, then the organization is really exposing themselves. So usually I ask for those top three things, the contracts, the handbooks, and the policies. And then we just methodically work our way out from there. Another area that really needs attention, and this can be related to independent contractors, but is the area of employee contracts. And that is an area that I think most owners, they try to avoid it. They want to preserve the at-will relationship for that employee, and that's good. But it's uncomfortable to approach anyone and say, well, I really want to get our relationship down on paper. And there's kind of a jostling and a negotiation that goes back and forth. And nobody really likes that when you're just trying to get the job done. But that's an area that is really important to pay attention to and ask the right questions on.
Yeah, so if they don't have employee contracts in place, let's say they've got a 10-year employee and there's not an employee contract in place, because we see this, it can be very awkward and uncomfortable for that owner and for the employee. Any best practice kind of counsel you might give to a listener as to how they might handle a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, this relates back to the assets of the business, your intellectual property and your people that get ignored. And it's all, there's a way to, with your, we'll call them key employees, the employees who you trust, who help you manage your business, who are over other employees, who have a lot of knowledge about how you run your business, and hopefully you've developed a good relationship with them. In particular, when you're looking to exit your business, you really want to be thinking about those people and whether those people are equipped or skilled enough or loyal enough to carry your business into its next phase. Because that's really what a buyer is going to be looking at. If the buyer doesn't want to buy something that all the employees will exit once those papers are signed. So practically speaking, it's a really necessary area to pay attention to and to think again about how to protect your assets with that employee to preserve that relationship. But an added area is how to incentivize that employee to grow your business and to stick around through an upcoming transition.
Yeah, that's very important in the work we do.
When you have an employment agreement within a key employee, you'll certainly want to include things like confidential information, non-solicitation of customers or employees, and the non-disclosure terms. But beyond that, you can really give attention to how to grow your business, how to incentivize them, how to give them some skin in the game. And that is really done through the employment agreement, the executive employment agreement. And it can be done through bonus plans, compensation, deferred compensation, and frankly, the terms of termination. Those four areas are really important to pay attention to.
So, Christine, we've covered a lot today. Like I said, we really appreciate you doing that. Is there any way possible to kind of do a brief summary of what we've been talking about?
So the way I would just sum it up is how to preserve your intellectual property assets, and just to remember that it's very intertwined with your employees. Your employees are the ones that hold your intellectual property, and you as an owner hold your intellectual property. So you just want to make sure that you have policies and systems in place that will protect that intellectual property, and that when people come and go, that intellectual property is covered and protected, and that you can do that through the legal documents that provide a kind of an underground foundation for what you're really doing, so that you can really pay attention to your business and to growing that and to selling more widgets or providing more services. But let those documents be kind of a bulwark, so that you don't find yourself scrambling later to take hold of what you thought was yours, but someone has made off with.
Thanks. Very, very helpful. And I expect you'll receive a few calls from listeners needing assistance. So how would a listener contact you?
I practice every day they can give me a call directly at Gammon and Grange, and we would be more than happy to assist them with any employment issues that they have.
Fantastic. And we'd like to have you back to take a deeper dive into incentivizing bonus plans and things like that. So definitely look forward to that. Pat, what do you think the key takeaways for listeners are from today's presentation?
Yeah, well, Walter, you know from the work that we do that if an owner wants to sell their business and they want to sell it to a third party, strategic buyer, financial buyer, and they come in and do their due diligence, they're going to have a checklist around these policies and procedures for these areas of risk, these employment risk areas, as well as IP. We've seen it happen. So you can't, but it's so easy to not have it as a priority on a year-to-year basis, because there's so many other things to do.
Right.
And it's not the kind of work that most of us business owners really enjoy doing. But boy, it's essential, isn't it? It's essential to manage your own risk no matter how long you have the business. But boy, when you go to sell it, if you want to maximize the value and you're going to sell it to a third party, a strategic or a financial, you're going to have these policies and systems in place that Christine gave us a great overview today. And so I would say takeaways would be, if you haven't looked at this in a while, and maybe even if you have in the last year or so or two, get someone to look at that handbook. Get someone to look at those contracts, those insurance policies, and those employee contracts. Don't neglect the issues. Those are my key takeaways. No matter what your exit plan is, really. I mean, if you're going to transfer to insiders, if you're going to do an ESOP, you're going to sell to a third party, these policies and systems absolutely have to be in place. And I guess another takeaway for me is for most owners, it's going to require getting some outside help, like Christine, who does this stuff all the time, day in and day out, and actually like doing it. And can do it efficiently and effectively. So those are my takeaways.
Okay, I think that's great. So, if any listener would like to speak with either of us for help in planning their exit, I can be reached at 301-951-9090, and Pat can be reached at 301-943-8203. Special thanks to Joe Ennis. Thanks again to our great guest, Christine Johnson, and thank you all for tuning in. Until next time on the Exit Readiness Podcast, this is Walter Dial and Pat Ennis signing off.